come on, it's so good to see you. Thank you for being here this morning. As you know, we're in this marriage series called Realignment. We believe, I believe that this is one of the best marriage series that God has allowed me to be able to preach and minister. As you know, man, I was trying to get Renee here, and I think she was there. She was going to be on stage, but the Twin Tears Pride, our baseball team that we're a part of, that Ethan's a part of, is in a tournament here locally, and they're playing today at 11 o'clock. They're playing right now, as a matter of fact. Wish I could be there, but I'm so glad that I'm here with you. And Renee would have come. She said, Sean, oh, Sean, I would have been on stage with you, but I have to go be mom and celebrate our son in baseball. So her out, and that's fine, you know, love her. And but we are speaking on a real subject of sex and having best friendship in the bedroom and what that looks like to be best friends in the bedroom for those of us who are married. And it's a privilege to those who are married. It's a priority for those who are married. And we'll get into this a little bit. But I just want you to know, even Renee and I did this thing called Facebook Live. We did one last night. And Renee just brought out some great words. And she's been studying this week. And we've been practicing what we preach this week. It's been a wonderful week, healthy week. We're strong and healthy. It's wonderful. She's not here, so I can pretty much say what I want. So, woo! Amen. But she really brought up a great point in regards to the word yada and the word no, where in Genesis 4:1 it says Adam knew Eve and or had relations. Your version may say had relations, and it's the word yada, and it's that intimacy of knowing. And then, and I want you to know this, that even Renee was saying, Sean, it's the same word that God used to know us in that intimate, deep, loving way. And remember, your marriage is a display of Christ in the church. And when you understand God's love for us, there's this intimacy, there's this love for us that he created you and he knows you with a yada depth of understanding and love in the same way that he equates when us as Christians understand the word yada and word no, and in that intimate sexual relationship between a husband and a wife. And then she just kind of put these two things together. And I just want to share that because that is where she really wanted to go. And I'm so excited that she wanted to be up here. That would have been wonderful. She's so such a great wife. But if I could have the dad stand up, we got to cruise through this. And I'm sorry for the first service. It went a little long because of stuff like this. You had to find a parking spot. I'm glad that you did. I'm glad that you were here. Dad, stand up, please. This is our day. Man, this is our day to eat chicken wings and eat pizza and just, woo, this is our day for chicken wings. Come on. But I want to pray over you. This message is, and it's so funny. So I had a female say, oh, how a sex message on Father's Day. How perfect planning was that? I'm like, listen, I honest the truth, this had nothing to do with timing at all. I literally remembered it was Father's Day last week, actually. So honestly, I'm just like, this has nothing to do with it, but it is pretty good timing, I just have to say. It is of the Lord and we'll take it. So let's just pray. Your kids are around you, lay your hands on your dad. And if your wife is with you, lay your hands on your husband. As we just believe these three things. Gentlemen, look at me, please. We will change the world. Please hear this. This world can be changed. This community, your community, this region, we are Believers Chapel. We are region church, man. We want to rearrange and change this region. That happens when men come to three areas in their life. Number one, you fear God. Number two, you hate sin. Number three, you love your families. If we would have men in this region, men in your community, men in our community, men across the world, do three things. Fear God. Have a respect and a reverence for God Almighty, knowing that he is the creator. And I walk in that sense of awe of him and walk in a fear of God. And then number two, I would hate sin. Hate sin. And number three, I will love my family. I will love my family. If we have men to do those three things, you will change this world. You will change our community. You will change our region and your home will change. So come on, men, man up and be that man who says, I am going to walk in a way this year. This year is going to be a year that I'm going to fear God. I'm going to hate sin and I'm going to love my family. Come on, Father, we just come to you in Jesus' name that we would just ask that you would move in such a way in us as men. This is Dad's day. This is our day as men who've come to a place and say, man, God, you have given me the gift of children in that. God, I will let them see that I will be a man who will have a reverence and be in awe of you. I'll be a man who hates sin. And God, I'll be a man who loves my family. God, that's who we will be. this year. Bless us as we go forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Come on, sweet, sweet, sweet. I'm going to tell you, I'm cheating. I'm checking my phone. Ethan had a hard field double. Ethan just got a double, church, just so you know. Come on. Pride's going to win this one. We are playing another Pride team. Actually, the coach is a part of this church. Hope we crush him. God bless you, Dave. Love you. But hope we crush you, man. God bless. Hope you trip, fumble, and fall in Jesus' name. Come on. And he's the coach of the team that I'm hoping we're just destroying. So anyways, I'll give you updates. Come on, here we go. Come on, turn with me, please. 1 Corinthians. Come on, Duke. 1 Corinthians. Go Penn State. 1 Corinthians 7, please. I don't know how far we'll get. But just to bring it down to a real place this morning is when you're in this marriage series and you talk about marriage, one of the priorities that God has set forward for marriage is being best friends in the bedroom and what the bedroom really looks like and what that sexuality really looks like between a husband and a wife. And I'm going to say things. I've already been warned from the first service. You can't say that in church. We can't put that on the radio. Well, I'm probably going to say it anyways, just so you know. When you begin to understand the reality of what it is in a healthy, joyful, full of life, prioritized marriage, sex is on the list of priority. And the reality is this. Yes, you know, research shows and doesn't take much to figure out that the desire in a man most of the time is more so than in the desire of the woman. The sex drive is stronger, God-given. At times, about 20%, research shows 20% of women have a stronger sex drive than the man. So this isn't just, and I want to clear the air, biblically speaking, let's talk just Bible, okay? Biblically speaking, when you look at husband and wife, nowhere in Scripture do you see, well, the man wants it more than the wife, and it's a desire of the husband. So wives, you just need to fulfill anything that he wants. And I know it doesn't really matter to the woman. Like, that's not what you see in God's picture of love and relationship. That's not what you see through the beautiful, poetic, beautiful picture of Song of Solomon. You have this wife who is so into her man, who is so looking him upside down, sideways, backwards, every which way, and going, mm-hmm. Woman, all you got to do to your man is go, mm-hmm, and he knows what you mean. Right? He's like, yep, close her off. He's like, she gave me the mm-hmm. That means game on. Let's go. And then you see this picture of the husband, and he's just checking her out, and he is just really identifying every inch of her body, and there is this picture and Song of Solomon of a husband and a wife that have come together in a very real way. Sexually, and it's beautiful, and it's wonderful, and it's full of passion, and it's hot and steamy, and it's sticky. That's God's idea. He created sticky, not me. Come on, church, come on. I told you it was going to be real. Like, woo! Women are going, what? Huh? Never mind. But when you know, there and you're just on, in a reality way of preparation and just in studying and watching and listening and just my heart kind of changed a little bit in regards to the direction of this message, because right here in this room when I mentioned sex, I'm telling you, for many, it brings up hurt, it brings up pain. It brings up confusion. It brings up frustration. It brings up past and even regret. So there's this side to this that I want to be very genuine, and I want to be very, very authentic, and I want to be honestly very sincere and very careful, because I know that, man, in a good marriage, and sex is a priority, and things are going well, and even, you know, listen, when you've been married long enough, you know sex is great, then there's times that sex is frustrating. There's times that it's going great. There's times that it's not. That's marriage for everybody. Get over it. That's true. That's what happens in a marriage, a real marriage relationship, when sex is a priority. There's times that it's great. There's times that it's not. There's times that it's woo. There's times that it's what? I mean, it's just, that's marriage. And that's healthy. But I do know that there's people here today that are broken, and people here today that are hurting, and people here today that when you mention sex, it brings a pain to your spirit. And it brings up, because I know that something that, watch this, something that God created, and I'm gonna try to have just a conversation with you. If it's you and me at a table, man, we're gonna get into this, and we're gonna be here a little bit, and trust me, it won't be boring. So you won't be like looking at your watch going, unless you're looking at your watch going, honey, like, okay, that's a different story. But when you come to this place that God created sex, and he created for husbands and wife to enjoy and to know and to be intimate. He created our sense of marriage to be best friends. Why does that stop at the bedroom door or the kitchen table or the pool or wherever it's open for you to go have a blast? You come to this place to really understand that what happened to being best friends in the bedroom? What happened to the joy, and what happened to the laughter, and what happened to the communication? Listen, please hear this, man. You just to get real, real, like, okay, you both sit on the same toilet and do what you do on the toilet. You actually have sex, but you can't. When's the last time you actually really talked about sex? We do all these things, but just to have a conversation about our sex life, for some reason, that's like off limits. But what happens when we really understand our marriage in a best friend relationship where we do talk about everything, we do communicate about everything, and we can certainly laugh off some stupid things, and we certainly can enjoy one another and laugh with one another and communicate with one another and really act like best friends in the bedroom. But for whatever reason, watch this now, for whatever reason, sex conversation just seems to be off the table. Well, we haven't really talked about sex in years. Why? Watch this. God created this intimacy between a husband and a wife, and God created the connection between one body to the next body, and God created this so beautiful and wonderful, and it is a sense at times can be stressful. It also should be times of stress release. It should be times that we are giving and we're giving and we're giving, and not just being takers, takers, takers. You've heard me say this before. Lust takes, love gives. And if you were, watch this, if you were going to do a litmus test of your marriage and canceled everything else out, it's a serious deal, and you looked at just your sexual relationship with your spouse, how would you rate your marriage? How would you rate your marriage? We're going to get into the scripture and see where it is a priority. And how many times have we just put it on the shelf to say it's so painful and it's so hurtful and I just have such regret and just it's so frustrating that we just decided to put it aside. And God's like, would you please take it off the shelf? Would you please put it in the right proper order of marriage priority? Now listen, for a man, most men, number one on the list. Most women, it's usually 13, and they did a real study and it's after gardening. Good luck, man. Go to the garden then. Do whatever you need to do, gentlemen. Song of Solomon talks about her garden. Anyways, go to the garden. But when you come to a place to realize that God set it up for something wonderful, and God set it up for something beautiful, and God set it up for a husband and a wife, as God, watch this, as God is the creator of our bodies. God created the body for orgasm. He created the body for orgasm. That's not a bad word. Sex is not a bad word. The enemy has made it dirty. The enemy, watch this. The enemy has taken it out of church. We shouldn't. Why should we? You know how many churches can't preach on this? You know how many churches in a legalistic way say, oh, that's just private business? It's not. It's God's business in a marriage that it is a priority. And listen, if you're a teenager in this place or a young person, this is 12 and above, and it's a real deal, because under that, they are watching things on TV that they're teaching your kid filth. They're teaching your kid filth in school. They're teaching you filth in Disney and different cartoons that just show all kinds of different wrong action in regards to movies and lustful thoughts and lustful actions and the internet and pornography. Your kids are learning it somehow. How about it bring it back to the place of the church in right biblical context where God says it is good, it is beautiful, it is joyful, there is best friends in the bedroom, and it is for marriage only. Like, that's what God says. So when you look at God created the body for orgasm. God, listen, let me get real, all right? God created your body and put this amazing thing, watch now, called the clitoris, and it's on your body for one purpose only, and that is for your pleasure. God did that. The enemy, that wasn't the enemy's idea. That's God's idea for you. And when you begin to really, the number one point is God created this, and he created it good, and he created it wonderful, and he created it for fun. He created it for be fruitful and multiply, for procreation. He created for us to just unite with one another. This is God's idea, but the enemy has got in there, twisted it, called it dirty, can't talk about it in church, created a horrible, horrible picture of it in the society. And in that, there comes hurt and pain and regret. Can I just say this? You have a safe sex movement going on. And can I just declare loudly that God never meant sex to be dangerous? God never meant sex to be dangerous. That's the enemy's idea. So number one, when you begin to break down the barriers and you begin to break down the walls and you begin to come to this place to even, listen, being very careful in the sense of the hurt and the pain, and the frustration, and the regret, and at times the shame, and at times the guilt. I'm going to go somewhere today, and I want you to hear it, please. Number one, I want you to hear that God created it for a husband to know his wife, and for a wife to know her husband. And the desire to be there, and the tenderness to be there, and the joy to be there, and the excitement to be there, and the passion to be there. And please get the whole stupid idea. Well, I've heard it. If you put a penny in the jar for how many times you had sex your first year, you could make up the rest, and you wouldn't. It's just sexual relationship between a husband and wife is an ongoing relationship. That, please hear me, it should get better as time goes on. You should be more creative as time goes on. There should be this sense of joy again in your marriage, in the bedroom, because we understand what it looks like to make love to your best friend. And to understand what it means to give and not take. What it means to understand, to go in a bedroom as a man going, honey, listen, my idea is you tonight, and my idea is you this morning, or my idea is you this afternoon, or whatever your timing is. Man, you know what? The kids are home. We're going parking. Let's go. Maybe the cops will find us. How much fun that would be. Listen, I don't have time for too many stories, but as a cop, you see a car, and you're just like, everybody here because they want to be here. Okay, pack it up. Get your clothes on. Some of them are shy. Some of them are not shy at all. Like you should. Like when you see a cop, good time to cover up. I'm just saying. Go parking. Do whatever you need to do to come to a place to rekindle and get to this place to know, man, this is what God says about us. So enough talking. Let me just get into some scripture here because I want you to see this. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. My wife called me. Maybe she's actually listening, going, shut up, Sean, shut up. That's funny. We're winning 10-0. Sweet. We won. 10 run. Anyways, now I can turn this over. Go Pride. Championship is at 1 o'clock. I got to go. Anyways, come on, 1 Corinthians 7. Now concerning the things about which you wrote, it is good for man not to touch women. It's talking about their immoralities. And Corinthians wrote a letter about immoralities. And verse 2, but because of immoralities, each man is to have his own wife and each woman is to have her own husband. Talking about the husband and wife relationship. See, fornication is that which is before marriage, immorality or sexual immoral. Bible tells us to flee immorality. The word is porneia, and it's where we get pornography from. And then the word adultery is when a husband or a wife sleep around on their husband and wife. See, the Bible gives those examples of what not to do in sex. Listen, don't get all legalistic on this and don't get all too serious about sex. God only gave a few things that you can't do. And we had, listen, I'll answer a question. It's just simply, someone wrote a question in regards to intimacy and they asked a question about positions. Like, is missionary position the only available position? Listen, listen, this is a real deal. Don't get into a place to look at scripture and say, well, there's only one way, how boring. Like, stick to the script of what actually God says. God says, listen, don't Don't have sex with anyone other than your wife. Don't have sex than before marriage. That's what God says. Homosexual relationships are a no for God. And you look into this, you look into this and say, okay, well, what has God said we can do? Be creative, I guess, right? I mean, this is the reality of truth is this. Let's talk serious in church and look at what God does say, but don't add to what he doesn't say. It's a real deal, right? Now watch this, watch this. We're talking about husbands and wife. Verse 3, the husband must see to it that he fulfills his duty to his wife and likewise the wife to her husband. Now, I want you to see this. This is a two-way street in the bedroom. Yes, the man has, most of the time, high percentage of the time, man's sex drive is more than a woman's. That does not mean that, you know what? All men, it's just about them. It's only about them. It's really nothing about me. That is not a biblical truth. Look at husbands fulfill when you need to fulfill to your wife's needs. Sexually, this is talking about sexually. Husbands fulfill sexually your wife's needs. That means your wife has needs. Now watch what it says. The wife does not have authority over her body, but the husband does. That's not a license for abuse. Do not say that. Listen, hear this, because I know that even when you start talking about sex, you start talking about being best friends in the bedroom, sometimes there has been this source of this, there's been pressure, there's been maybe even force, there's been this sense of just this hurt and this pain that's brought up. This is where it's talking about. Listen, in a marriage relationship between a husband and a wife, best friends in the bedroom, there's joy and there is at times this sense of just stress release, and there's times of what it is to really give and please one another in a way to know I want to honor you and I want to please you and I want to fulfill what I'm called to fulfill. My body is not my own, honey. Woo! What you see, you can get. Like, that's just the way it is, right? And then the wife should say, honey, what you see, woo, is what you can get. In a husband and wife relationship, this is what that's talking about. It doesn't mean for a license of abuse. But it certainly gives right passage for use. And you've got to know the difference. You've got to know the difference. The wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband doesn't. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. We get this picture of two becoming one. Now watch, verse 5 is huge. Stop depriving one another. Isn't it amazing that God says stop, and the word depriving here, it means stop robbing one another. Of what? Of sex. Listen, this is where we get priority from, where God says, listen, it's not supposed to be something that's on the back shelf. The enemy loves that. The enemy loves it when you, as a husband and a wife, you put it on the back shelf going, we're convinced it's not that important. Watch this. Verse 5, stop depriving one another except by agreement for a time so that you may devote yourselves to prayer and come together again so that Satan will not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. God says, listen, the time that you put it on a shelf is a prayer meeting. However long you decide to pray, well, we're praying for 6 months. Don't do that. What does he say? And it's interesting when you understand, when you go before a holy God for marriage, you know, one of the right passages of marriage that God set up is when you say yes to me in marriage, that means I am saying yes to you in the bedroom. Why is it that God uses this language, says stop robbing one another? Well, listen, I married you on the basis of a Christian marriage, that we both love Jesus, that we both said we're going to do this God's way. Well, a part of that program is having sex be a priority. That's a part of the program. And all of a sudden, you've put it on the shelf, whether it's the male or whether it's the female, whether it's the husband or the wife. You're just saying, I don't think it's really that important. Therefore, the door is shut. We're not going in there. And listen, God says, well, you just robbed. You just ignored the covenant that you made, that you just robbed your husband or your wife of something that is rightfully belonging to them. So we see this sense of reality of a priority in God's creation, in God's designed idea for a husband and a wife to come together in the relationship of knowing one another, being intimate with one another. And God says, listen, keep it on the priority list. Keep it on the priority list. You come to this place. Let me just speak to the husbands and wives, and I want to talk to those who are single. And then we'll kind of close this out in regards to what it really means as a husband and wife to come back to that place. Can I ask you, when's the last time you prayed, literally prayed over your sex life? Husbands and wife praying for your sex life. praying for healing sexually. Knowing that, God, you said that it's a priority. God, we want to come back to that place. Listen, we pray for a headache. We pray for a toenail. We pray for a broken finger. We pray and believe God can raise the dead. We believe God can heal the sick. We believe in God's favor and his grace and his blessing. But something so important in marriage, in the bedroom, when there's brokenness, when you know you need to be healed. Can I ask you, when's the last time you, honestly, husband and wife, you prayed over your sex life? When's the last time, husband, you prayed, man, God, I want to know how to please my wife. I want to know what it means. Listen. What's it look like to really please her so much that she comes to that place of orgasm even before me, God, that I would put her so first before me? God, and listen, church, there's some amazing, wonderful, clean education books from great Christian authors that understand the reality of the sex life, understand how the male body works, how the female body works. Can I encourage you, please, look them up. We have a list of them. We actually used to have them stacked up when we had this talk before. And you just come to the place saying, listen, I want to be educated. It's that important. It is a priority. I want to be educated in this to know what I'm doing. And listen, when I go into pre-marriage counseling, we actually talk about that literature. We talk about these books. This is one of our last for different ages. This is one of our last sessions that I have with them. And most of the time, Renee is able to be there with me. And we encourage them and we tell them, listen, I want you to read this book, but live on different parts of the state before you, so you can't come close together, you know, because it's pretty hot and heated, good stuff. And you come to a place to say, man, my marriage is broken in this area. And man, the truth is it's broken in many, many marriages in this area. And you look at the research and you look at the stats and you look at marriage or sex and money are the two biggest issues in marriage. It's the two biggest issues in marriage. Frustrated over money and frustrated over sex. But boy, we pray for our money. But man, I want a realignment in your marriage, and I want you to make that little click, and I want you to make that little adjustment. And I want you to believe what God says. And you look at Song of Solomon, and you look at this beautiful bride, and she is just checking out her man. And she says this, he is my lover, and he is my friend. What happens when there is this tenderness and there is this joy, and we just simply paint a picture of what it looks like in marriage to be best friends in the bedroom again? What it means to go in with joy and to go in with excitement. And if it doesn't go well the first time, whoop, round two is always better, church. And you get into this place to realize she was checking him out and she was seeing every inch of his body. And she was so really into who her man was physically and emotionally and tenderly that she was just like, he is my lover and he is my friend. And Song of Solomon's a beautiful, it uses words like garden, which means the female genitals, and it uses words like fruit, which is the men genitals, and it's a very descriptive, detailed book about what's taking place in these two lovers' lives who are married, and God puts a stamp on it to say, yes, that's how I created it. And the husband is checking out his wife, and he's just looking at her going, man, every inch. And he's just not looking at certain parts. He's looking at her hair and he's looking at her teeth and he's looking at every inch going, you are all together beautiful and I desire you. All together beautiful and I desire you. You get this picture biblically of what God says about the bedroom. I mean, if you're single in this place, can I just speak to you in a very rude way? To know what it looks like to wait and what it means in a society that says have as much sex as possible, be as loose as you possibly can be, have as much sex as you possibly can get. What happens when it is surrounding you like never before? It is everywhere all at once. And you're single and you're like, I'm holding on. I'm doing everything I can to stay pure? What happens as a single when you begin to understand, listen, it is worth the wait. I don't care how much he's pressuring me. I don't care how much she's pressuring me. I don't care if everyone says they're doing it. I don't care who's doing it. I want to walk in a way that's right. I want to walk in a way that says, I will wait for him. I will wait for her. I don't even know her name, but she's the one for me. I don't even know his name yet, but I will wait for him because it'll be worth it, because we're doing it God's way. Even as a teenager, you come to a place and say, I now say, and listen, please hear me. I don't give a rip about some 3x5 card that you signed saying, I will stay pure. You do that at some conference, rip the card up and throw it away and look at the reality of what it is if you sign these cards. And we've never done that. I'm not a fan of that, because 2 weeks later, you're sleeping around anyways. I'm looking at a real deal heart change going, marriage is worth it. My husband is worth it. My wife is worth it. I don't say no because I signed on a card. I say no because it's right. I say no because God has a plan for me, because God created it for marriage, because in marriage it can be fun and it can be beautiful and it can be excellent and it can be joyful. And man, it's going to be, I'm going to have my best friend in the bedroom one day and he's worth the wait, or she's worth the wait. Now, don't give a rip the way the world does it. But as for me, man, I'm going to do it in a way to prepare for my bedroom one day that it's going to be the best thing ever. That's priority because you get it. That's priority because you get it. But this is the way I really feel the Lord wanted me to close this. Because I said in the beginning, when you go into something like this, there's so many. We're here, even in this room. You say, Sean, it's a painful subject. Sean, it comes with its level of regret. It comes with its level of condemnation. It comes with its level of just, there's emotional hurt there. There's been some pain in there. Maybe it's forced. Maybe it was, man, I lived in sin before I ever came to Christ. Or maybe even as a Christian, man, there are so many times I've slipped up, and you walk in this place of brokenness. So we looked in marriage and say, husband and wife, we're going to pray about it, man. We're going to pray about our sex life. We're going to take this thing off the shelf and we're going to put this thing back in action. But what about the broken heart? What about the broken spirit? What about you in this place going, Sean, there's that sense of baggage that comes with it. And I'd rather not. This is so good. Watch this. 1 Corinthians 6. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Don't be deceived. Neither will fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, or effeminate, that's the type of a male prostitute, or a homosexual, or thieves, or covetous, or drunkards, nor rivalers, nor swindlers will inherit the kingdom of God. Watch this. For such were some of you. Like Sean, there's that one moment that I slipped, that there's this one moment that I gave in, or I just thought that she loved me. I thought that he loved me. I thought that we were going to get married. And maybe I just lived this, maybe I've lived this horrible life and just, the enemy, watch this now, please. The enemy wants to take hope right out from you. The enemy wants to say, ha, you blew it. I got you. You lost. Your marriage is just going to be horrible now. Look, I took that from you. I stole that from you. You have no hope. Good luck in the future. Ha, you lost. That's what the enemy wants to tell you. But church, we have someone as an advocate. We have someone who put himself on a cross for you and for me. We have someone who says this, that whole list, for such are some of you, but watch this, but you were washed. I love that. Yes, we have a past, but you were washed. And it says, but you were sanctified, but you were justified. How in the name of your Lord Jesus Christ and in the Spirit of our God. Listen, this is what the Bible says. Yes, you can choose to live in condemnation. You can choose to live in guilt. You can choose to live in that sense of hurt and brokenness and pain. Or you can look at the healer and say, listen, I need to be healed from this. God, you can heal me from this. God, I am washed. Your blood has taken that from me. God, I am sanctified. I am set apart. God, I am justified. I will stand before you innocent. God, I can have a life that's full of love and full of grace and full of being a best friend in the bedroom to my husband or a best friend in the bedroom to my wife, to know there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Church, that's true. And you would come to a place to say, sex doesn't have to be filled with regret and hurt and brokenness and pain, where you would buy into the lie saying there's just no hope for you. That's biblically not true. He went over a whole list, as were such as you. But you've been washed. But you've been sanctified. I love that. You've been set apart for a holy purpose. When something's sanctified, watch this, it means it's set apart for a holy purpose. Watch this, it says you've been justified. Church, what happens when sex doesn't have to bring up a brokenness? What happens if you come to a place, say, man, I can get to a place one day to understand what it really means to be best friends in the bedroom, where there'll be laughter, and there'll be encouragement, and there'll be a building, and there'll be just the sense of release again between a husband and a wife. And you don't feel that sense of condemnation. You don't feel that sense of guilt and shame, because you go right back to the truth of God's word, saying, no, I've been washed. I will fight that. I'm sanctified. I will fight that. I'm justified. And there is a day that I will have a best friend in the bedroom. And we will enjoy the way God created us to enjoy. And we will laugh. And we will pray. And at times, man, we'll cry. And there'll be frustrations. At times, there'll be the highest of joy. At times, there'll be such sacrifice. It'll be so beautiful. What an amazing picture. That's the picture that God has set up for you. Wherever you're at this morning in this, you come to a place to look and say, okay, if I'm single, I wait. From today forward, I wait. Because God set it up to be beautiful. And God set it up as a priority. Come on, let's just bow our heads. I'm just asking that there's this moment here today that you give this to the Lord. And you as a husband and wife say, you know what, we're going to pray over this. God's going to heal this area of our marriage. Man, let there be a tenderness, and let there be a gentleness, and let there be that sense of, I am not going to take, I'm going to give. There's going to be a creativity to this. There's going to be excitement again in this. We're going to get past the boring and get into the excitement. We're going to come to that place in the bedroom or wherever your choice of playtime is. You come to that place and say, man, it's going to be exciting again. It's going to be real again. It's going to be that sense of giving to one another again. And man, I'm going to make love to my best friend. What does that picture look like for you personally to understand? I'm going to make love again to my best friend. Or we're going to actually treat one another as best friends in the bedroom. As husband and wife, man, we're going to take this thing off the shelf. We're going to come to a place to give again. We're going to come to a place to give again. You're in this place and you're just like, man, I want to know that one day that I get married, man, I'm not going to have to be filled with shame. If you're single and you're pure, I would say, man, maintain that. And you never have to worry about that. But if you're here and you're like, man, I just have a past. I just want you to know where God says you are in this. Father, we just come before you as husbands and wives, and we just see your glorious work in this, God. We're amazed by it. We thank you for it. It's a beautiful gift, God. It's a privilege. God, it's a priority. God, as a husband and wife, we just kind of come to this place to rekindle, come to this place to refresh, come to this place to just take it off the shelf again, God, and say it's got to be a priority. We're going to talk about it. We're going to laugh about it. We're going to cry about it. We're going to pray about it. We're going to have communication again. And man, we're going to revive this thing, and we're going to bring it back to a place of life. God, I just pray over those who are single in this place. I pray over those who God, they walked in this place. They heard the word sex, and there was instant regret and hurt attached to it. God, I just ask in Jesus' name, Father, there would be healing in that. God, that they would know they can be washed. They know, God, that they can be truly sanctified in what you've done. They can be set apart as a holy vessel again, God. And God, they will stand before you in the name of Jesus, innocent, God. So, Father, I just ask for those in this place this morning that are in that arena, God, that's where they sit today, that it's a painful word. That it's a word that brings shame. It's a word that brings guilt. God, today, God, by your Spirit, please, God, open their eyes to see and open their heart to see your amazing love for them. And your grace is on them, God. And you've washed them by the blood of your Son. That, God, they can stand clean. God, they can walk in a way that is right. God, they can have a marriage one day, and an intimate marriage where they can have such joy with the one that they love, the one that they've committed their life to, the one, God, that they've said, I do to, God, that in that, male or female, God, they come to a place, say, my marriage will be filled not with regret, not with pain, not with condemnation, not with shame, but it will be filled with my best friend in the bedroom, and we will have a relationship that is full of joy and laughter and encouraging, and we will pray and we will seek you, God, in this area. And God, that's what you have for me. That's what you have for me. God, I just pray even in this that there would be a hope for every person in this room. There would be a hope. God, in their intimacy, there would be life again. Make it a priority again. In Jesus' name. Come on, amen. Amen, church. Come on, amen. Awesome. Woo! Oh, and please, I don't want you to think for a moment that's hard for me. I love marriage, and I love the right marriage, and I love the God marriage. That's not a difficult for me to just speak truth like that. End result is amen. Good stuff. Next week, we continue in this. We look to what it means to even manage conflict and just how to stay away from conflict. And it's just going to be one of those great messages that you walk out of here with some great tools. I hope you have tools today, but next week is going to be tangible tools, man. We're going to roll. But and then the following week, we close this out and we get into our panel that we're going to answer questions. So please, any questions you want, just write them down in the box anonymously, and we're going to try to answer as many as we can, okay? Church, I love you. God bless. Thank you for being a part of Believer's Chapel, man. We love you. Amen.